This is the Employment Law Show.
It sure is, and welcome to it. We're back here, Tuesday night edition, ready to rock, and we're hope you are as well. So we're going to get started here. John Scholes, always hanging around with you, and Lior Sanfiru back in the saddle and ready to make you that much smarter when it comes to your workplace rights and employment laws. You betcha. This is where you want to be for the next half hour. Got a busy show on the way as well, as we're going to get into the topic, everything employers and employees ever wanted to know about termination for cause. That is coming up throughout the half hour. This is your time to get on the phone and ask questions about your employment life, because you don't want to Google. You don't want to ask a friend who thinks he knows something about it. No, you want to get it right from the horse's mouth. This would be the horse this entire show, just in case you didn't know. So bring on your phone calls, and if we got time, which we sometimes do near the end, we'll grab an email or two, and that is help@employmentlawyer.ca. But the phone calls are ready to go. Open lines, lots of time. Let's get it happening. Always kicking it off, Lior, with the case of the day. Pal, what is cooking?
So wait, John, am I the horse really in this scenario? Is that what we're saying here?
I knew you were going to ask, but we're a two-headed horse, okay? It's both of us.
Okay. That's pretty nasty. Okay, that's fine. glad to be here, of course, to talk about employment law as usual and to make sure that our good listeners know their rights, know what to do, and know how to respond if they're facing a difficult situation. Oftentimes, silence or not doing anything, looking the other way, turning the other cheek, all that is not good when it comes to your rights in the workplace. Ignoring an issue, not responding to an ultimatum, walking away, not good. That's a surefire way to give up on your rights. So what I prefer you do is you understand what your legal rights are and know how to respond if there's an issue. By doing that, you preserve your rights and you give the law the opportunity to help you. Whether you've lost your job, I don't want you to sign off on that piece of paper. I want you to do something about it. We talk about that. If you're being mistreated in the workplace, worst thing you can do is just to hope that it goes away. If you got a bad performance review, same thing, respond to it. I think you get the idea. There's things you need to do, and so we'll tell you what it all means. And if what we say today, once you hear us horses today tell you things that are important to you, you can, of course, call me in the office as well. You can have a private chat or private email exchange. We'll give you that contact information. But as John said, let's start off with the case of the day. I spoke with a lady who had worked for the same employer for about 30 years, and she noticed very recently over the past year or so that the business had slowed down significantly. She even had the sense that the owner may have lost interest in the business, and the two owners may have lost business, and that perhaps they're looking at shutting it down. Well, she and the other employees get called into a meeting, and they were told, listen, we're going to try to figure out what's going on with this business. We may sell it. We don't know, but we don't want to continue operating. And while we do that, you guys are not out of a job. We're just going to put you all on a temporary layoff. Going to go on a temporary layoff, and in a few months' time, we'll figure out what's going on, and hopefully we'll have you guys back at work and things will resume as normal. So, of course, she was distraught. Most people, I'm surprised, can't afford to be off work for a few months. It just doesn't work that way. Life doesn't work that way. So she does the right thing, thankfully. She calls me, and I spoke to her earlier. So here's what I told her. I said, it's very nice and good if the company wants to kind of figure out what's going on and they're working on that, great. But they don't have a right to put you on a temporary layoff. They don't have a right to do that just because their business is slow or just because they're trying to find a buyer for the business. Can't do that. That temporary layoff can be treated by this lady as a termination of employment. They don't have a right to reduce her pay by 100%. They don't have even a right to reduce it by 20%. They just don't have a right to do that. That's a constructive dismissal. So after 30 years for her, she's owed about 2 years of severance, 24 months. And her colleagues the same, by the way, many long service employees with this employer. And I'm going to help them get that. But I wanted to remind everyone here, this is a company that I don't think is a bad company. It's not trying to hurt its employees. It's not trying to get away with bad things. But guess what? The law doesn't look at that. Either what you're doing is legal or it's not. And putting someone on a temporary layoff for most people is not legal. So if you're an employee and your employer says, hey, you're going on a temporary layoff, you can consider that perhaps as a constructive dismissal, as a termination of your employment, and require the employer to pay severance. Of course, you don't do any of that until you speak to me, because as always, the devil's in the details, but that's an option that you have.
And it really, really does not bode well for your future if you allow them to do that the one time just because you want to be a team player, or reduce your salary, change your work location, all those things. Once you, well, as you say, once you, you know, just poke that door open, they can kick it wide open after that, right?
Well, as I said at the beginning of the show, not doing anything sometimes is a very bad thing. That's a prime example. Your employer puts you on a temporary layoff. You don't do anything. You just sit at home and wait to be called back. And let's say you get called back. Well, the problem with that scenario is that now, because you accepted that temporary layoff, you've given the company the right to do it again. And after they call you back and a few months later they put you on another temporary layoff, you won't be able to do anything about it because you let it happen that first time. So silence, ignoring the issue, pretending like everything's okay, not a good option. Consider constructive dismissal.
We'll get into our main topic, and that is everything employers and employees never wanted to know about termination for cause after a short break. Let's get that out of the way now, and we'll get back into the show. Tuesday night edition, Employment Law Show rolls on. Stay with us.
Welcome back to the Employment Law Show.
You betcha, 6:41 on your Tuesday evening, Tuesday night edition, Employment Law Show. Love to be here. Love having you along for the half hour as well. And after this half hour, any other time, always available. Lior is and his team, and you're encouraged to reach out. If it's just a simple question or a chat, always start there. Don't let it fester and get into trouble. And how do you do that? 1-855-821-5900. Email help@employmentlawyer.ca. And the website, which we love to promote all the time because it's wonderful. It's absolutely free and anonymous, and you can learn so much from this one stop at pocketemploymentlawyer.ca. Okay, everything employers and employees ever wanted to know about termination for cause, there's a ton. We'll get through a few of these points, starting off with basics as we warm up into this topic, Lior. Termination for cause, what is it?
So termination for cause, really the way to look at it is the capital punishment of the employment relationship. Termination for cause is a situation where an employee is let go because of something terrible, something awful that they did. In fact, what they did is so bad that it's deserving of the worst penalty. Because remember, there's other things an employer can do if an employee is guilty of misconduct. There's a warning. There's a final warning. Maybe even a suspension in some situations, etc. So there's other disciplinary measures an employer can engage in. The worst one, of course, is a termination for cause. Now, termination for cause is something that is very extreme. It's not enough generally to show that the employee did something wrong in order for the company to terminate for cause. And what I see very often is that an employer saying, hey, Bob, you did something wrong, project, so we're firing you for cause. No, can't do that. Okay, generally speaking, just if someone made a mistake or even did something bad kind of one time, it's never going to be a termination for cause. Termination for cause is a situation where either you did something horrible or you've done a bunch of things and the company's warned you, etc., and ultimately there's nothing else left to be done. And in my experience, John, oftentimes employers pull the trigger on a termination for cause well before they should. So what I want our listeners to remember is that you can only be fired for cause if you did something bad. And if you have been fired for cause legally, then and only then can the company not pay you severance. So a company cannot avoid paying you severance unless they have cause to terminate you.
I know, yeah. As you've said right there, and we often say in the show, employers often jump the gun to cause really quickly, too quickly. Is it difficult to establish?
Very difficult to establish because it's a high standard. So, you know, I use the capital punishment analogy. Because someone committed a crime, that doesn't mean that they get the capital punishment. You know, the prosecutor would have to show something pretty, pretty bad, prove something pretty bad for capital punishment. Well, same thing with the termination for cause. Most cases, what an employer has to prove is that it tried to fix the problem. It provided a warning and another, and he provided better training, and they did everything they could. And my gosh, all these issues continue. What more? I'm throwing my hands up in the air in desperation. Maybe in that situation, the company can consider a termination for cause. They have to build up that case. They have to put in the work. too often, John, I see employers simply saying, well, you know what? Hey, we know that so-and-so didn't do a good job. Therefore, cause, easy peasy, done. No, that's a wrongful dismissal. Can't do that. If your employer says they've terminated you for cause, they better have the goods to prove that. And in most cases, they simply don't.
Yeah, well, I mean, to your point, obviously it's going to take some time, but it's, you know, you can't simply say, well, Bob, you dumped a skid full of widgets, so you're out of here. But, you know, what do they have to do to show proof of cause? Is there a three-strike rule, or is it just mounting evidence, I guess would be the term? What do you think?
So there's two types of cause, really. One type of cause is that a situation where the offense itself is so bad, then you could be fired for cause. For example, stealing, hitting someone, committing fraud. Right. If the employer can prove that, obviously one incident of that is more than enough to be cause. If you stole, the company doesn't have to give you a second opportunity. They can just say, okay, if you stole, we're firing you for cause, no severance is paid. The other type of a termination for cause, which is far more common, is a situation where it's not a one incident thing, it's a series of incidents. And in that situation, in order to prove cause, the company has to show that it engaged in other forms of discipline. Usually it's warnings. So for it to be a termination for cause, a good kind of rule of thumb is three warnings or three other disciplinary measures. A warning, second warning, final warning. Okay, it didn't work. Now we can perhaps terminate you for cause. Now, that's not a hard and fast rule. In some cases, you're going to need more than three warnings. In some cases, maybe you can do less than three. But as a general rule, not a bad guidance to say three. But unless the company has put in the work and can show those warnings and can show that it gave the employee the opportunity to improve and to get the message, unless they can show that, they cannot terminate for cause, meaning they have to pay the employee the full severance.
Again, questions about this or anything else on mind when it comes to your workplace and your job, call us now, 416-870-6400. You still have plenty of time, 1-888-225-TALK. Yeah, kind of a three-chance rule generally, as you said just there, as far as chances are concerned, Lior. Do they have to be, you know, can the mess-ups by the potential employee getting let go for cause, you know, can they have to be a week apart, 2 weeks, a year apart? Is that standard? You know what I mean? Is there a timeline between all these mess-ups?
So, you know, in order for the company to terminate for cause, they have to show that the employee just clearly didn't get the message. So if you provide someone a warning or even a couple warnings and everything's fine, and 3 years later the employee did something wrong, you can't say, well, 3 years ago we gave you warning, so we're letting go for cause. Because clearly the warnings worked. You had three good years, and yeah, maybe someone messed up, but it's not going to work that way. On the other hand, if you give someone a couple of warnings and a couple of weeks later it happens again, that's a very different scenario. So there's no rule of thumb here, but the more spaced out the offenses are, the harder it's going to be to terminate for cause.
In your experience, how often do employers legitimately have cause?
Well, I can tell you out of 10 terminations for cause that I see, maybe one or two are legitimately caused terminations. That's how difficult it is, and that's how rarely do employers do it correctly. And you know, if you've been legally terminated for cause, you probably know it. What I mean by that is, yes, I did do something really bad. I did do what my employer said. It was terrible. You kind of know it. If you yourself are kind of questioning whether it's legitimate, it's probably not legitimate. It's very difficult to terminate for cause. It's very important to remember that. So in most of the time, when I'm about to get on the phone with someone and I know that we're about to talk about a termination for cause, I'm almost certain that it's not going to be cause. And it's not because I say so, just the law makes it so difficult to terminate for cause.
Want to take a short pause in our topic, bounce over to some phone calls. Richard, thank you so much for taking the time this evening, pal. How are you?
Oh, great. How are you?
Good, sir. What's on your mind? What's happening with you?
Just a query there. If I'm part of a smaller division of a rather large company that's been in the news of late, but I'm suspecting they're going to pull up stakes next December. Now, would I be eligible for severance if that's the case, something if they shut down our division and yet keep the bigger company going? And then, I guess that's pretty well my question.
So, Richard, are you part of a union?
No.
Okay. So really what you're saying is if they shut down your division, will you get severance?
Yeah.
The answer is absolutely. Remember, severance has to be paid if you lose your job. So if you lose your job, it's a restructuring, it's cost cutting, it's a closure of the department, it does not matter. You absolutely have to get severance. So let me take it a step further and let me try to give you an assessment of how much severance you'd be owed. How long have you been there, Richard?
37 years.
Well, I don't even need to ask you the follow-up questions I was going to ask you, because after 37 years, you're going to be looking at right around 2 years of pay, okay, 2 years worth of severance. So that's what's at stake for you, obviously. Now, keep in mind, let's say you know they're going to shut down soon, so you kind of see the writing on the wall, so you say, you know, forget it, I'm just going to go somewhere else, I'll leave and take another job. In that situation, you wouldn't get severance. If you actually leave before they let you go, you'd be walking away from severance. But if they let you go, yeah, 2 years severance is what you're owed. If you get anything less than that, call me. Remember, that 2 years severance has to include your salary, your benefits, your pension contributions. It has to include all components of your compensation, Richard.
Oh, is that right? Okay, that's fantastic. Okay. Right. That sounds great. Okay, now, but how would you be paid then?
Well, the first thing I would want to do is to assess what they owe you. If they owe you more severance, then there'll be several options, including a contingency or an hourly fee, and we can talk about that when the time comes. Okay. And ultimately, I understand that people that lost their jobs, money is an issue for them by definition. So we work with individuals to make it all right and fair.
Richard, really appreciate the call, Pat. We got to let you go, and I'll give you that number in case it comes to that point, right? 1-855-821-5900. That's to get a hold of Lior and his team, help@employmentlawyer.ca. Still got some time, 416-870-6400. Do it like Richard, just get some answers. That's all it takes is a quick couple questions, and you're on your way with much more knowledge for sure. But we are talking about what employers and employees ever want to know about termination for cause. I know you kind of touched on these a little bit already, just so people are clear, some examples of conduct that can be cause for dismissal, even if it only happens once, Lior. I guess the bad ones are what we're saying. What do you think?
Right. So the starting point is that it's very, very, very difficult to prove or to establish cause if there's one incident of misconduct. So the most common incidents of misconduct is bad performance or, you know, maybe someone being late or someone not following policies. Those types of situations, if it's a one incident, is never going to be caused. It's simply just right. Not. No chance of that. You'd have to really build a case with multiple warnings, et cetera, before you can consider cause. But in terms of one-time conduct that could be cause, we're really talking about the big offenses. Stealing, theft, harassment, fraud. Those types of situations, you know, obviously on their own, would be cause. Keeping in mind, of course, the company still has to prove that it happened.
Right.
If they suspect that you were stealing from the cash register, as an example, but they can't prove it, well, then they can't establish a termination for cause. Meaning, if they still want the employee gone, they will have to terminate on a without cause basis, and they would have to pay full severance. So an allegation, a suspicion is not enough. They actually have to have proof, whether it's you know, there could be proof in many ways. It could be a video. They could be a witness. There could be something. But a terrible offense like stealing, like hitting someone, etc., and the ability to prove that is what's required for the company in order to establish cause.
To establish cause and let an employee go, the length of employment, is that relevant? Like Richard, I think he said 36 or 37 years. Does that factor into the decision?
Absolutely. So remember what I've been saying, that it's always, always difficult to terminate for cause. Whether you've worked for a company for a month or much, much longer, it's always difficult to terminate for cause. But if you're a very long service employee, it becomes that much more difficult to terminate for cause. If, you know, let's take Richard, as you said, he's been there for 37 years. Clearly, he's done something right at that company to be there. So it's assumed that he's a good employee to have lasted this long. So for the company to be able to extinguish that 37 years to show that he's so bad now that he could be terminated for cause, that would be a pretty darn difficult thing to do. They would really have to show something very clear and very bad. So the longer you work, yes, the more difficult it is to terminate your employment for cause.
It would have to be one of your, you know, aforementioned, you know, if you hit somebody or stole or sexual assault or something, it would have to be something that level to get them out the door quickly, right?
Oh, absolutely. It would have to be something that bad. You don't become a bad employee. So performance. Good luck trying to let someone go for cause for performance reason after 37 years. It's just not going to happen. It would have to be something pretty awful. Absolutely.
Let's flip over to you know, some benefits for employers. Advice to give them when it comes to respect to building a case for cause against an employee. This is for employers. What do you think?
Well, first of all, don't jump the gun, okay? Because if you're if you really want an employee gone and you don't have the proper elements to establish cause, then let them go without cause. Pay them what you owe them and be done with it. Don't try to create cause or allege cause when it doesn't exist. The other advice is put in the work to build a case if you want to. If you have an employee that's not doing something they're supposed to, where there's issues that require discipline, impose that discipline. Discipline should always be in writing. You know, verbal warning, forget that. Doesn't exist. Should never do a verbal warning. Waste of time. Again, we're talking non-union and employees. So provide a warning in writing, and then if it's needed, provide a follow-up warning, maybe then a final warning. And if you can prove that we did everything we could, then maybe you can terminate for cause. So put in that work. You also want to have policies in the workplace that outline what the expectations are of employees in terms of performance, in terms of conduct, etc. If you have these policies, it's much easier to discipline someone for a breach of a policy. You can't just make things up as you go along. If a company doesn't actually have properly communicated policies, how are they going to discipline someone? If you're an employee and your employer says you're not doing what you're supposed to, first thing you're going to ask is, well, when and how did you tell me what I was supposed to do? So that's some advice for employers out there. In my experience, John, most employers just don't put in the work to build up a case for cause.
And finally, flip side, how about employees? What advice do you give them?
Well, first of all, certainly don't do anything to justify a termination for cause. Don't steal. Don't do bad things in the workplace. But short of that, if your employer is terminating you for cause, it's that much more important that you call me. Because your company is going to try to avoid paying you any severance. Forget about bad severance. They're going to try to avoid paying you any severance. So very important that we speak. The good news is in most cases, it's not difficult to resolve these issues. We can resolve it often even without legal action. So if you've been terminated supposedly for cause, yeah, let's talk and let's talk very quickly.
And that is it. We're completely out of time, but we're going to be back here 6:30 tomorrow for any follow-up questions on air. In the meantime, just reach out to Lior on your own, right? Or his team, 1-855-821-5900. The number, email help@employmentlawyer.ca. And the website, which is full of lots of stuff we cover on the show nightly, by the way, pocketemploymentlawyer.ca as well. Enjoy the rest of your night. We'll catch you tomorrow night again right here at 6:30.